and your conversion ratio is better, obviously something's happening. Then we listen to the calls like you grading your tests, and there's KPIs, key performance indicators that we follow. So I want you to use the additional soft skills, the positive escalation, using the military alphabet, instead of using words like help, changing it to assist, guide, and lend a hand, adjust tone. These are the things that are people more in the now. So while they're translating and doing that intense concentration, we can always put that little bit of magic dust or an additional plate on the arm. It can be done.
Our guest today is Richard Blank. Richard is CEO of Costa Rica's call center. But more importantly, Richard is a spiritual raconteur, a multilingual citizen of the planet who embraces life in all its power, beauty, and flaws. Welcome, Richard, and where are you speaking to us from today?
Well, I cannot tell you how happy I am to be a guest on your podcast, and I am here in Central America in beautiful, sunny Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, pura vida.
Pura vida, exactamente.
I wish I could converse with you in Spanish. You have such a fascinating background, and one of the things I wanted to dive into is you took a life gamble to pay it forward. So tell us more about that.
Well, when you're 18 years old and you have to make a decision of college and career, you might be under pressure, forced, feeling guilty, or just scared. And a lot of my friends had a game plan. They were going to medical school, law school, family businesses. I didn't know what to do, but I loved Spanish. And I knew at that age, if I was doing dedicated practice, professor, if I was doing something above and beyond what school asked me to do, then I knew that it had longevity. And so my dedicated Spanish teacher said, why don't you become a language major in college? Because it might make you versatile. You might be marketable. Can any of your friends do it? I go, Professor Leonard, he can't do it. So if I'm the only one that can do it out of all of my friends, I can translate for a doctor, an attorney, get us out of the burning building and maybe get a job. And so I loved the language aspect of it. It was fun for me. And so I rolled the dice and became a Spanish major at Arizona. But I did internships and I was doing a lot outside the classroom to reinforce that. I had jobs post-grad that supported it. And then when I was 27, I had a 1 in a million opportunity to move to Costa Rica. And that's when I got past parents' guilt, made a couple selfish decisions, and realized that I had the backbone and the vigor to go for it and to see what would happen to me if I became an expat for a while.
Can we talk a little bit about family guilt? Because I think a lot of college students have to deal with that. You grew up in Philadelphia, East Coast, and the expectation was that you should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor. Why are you wasting your time learning Spanish? Am I summing it up or tell me about it?
In a sense, there was a little bit more prior to Abington Public School. I was destined to graduate Germantown Academy, which is a very prestigious private school in Fort Washington because my father and brother graduated there and I was there since kindergarten. But okay. Once you fail out of seventh grade, you're not going there anymore. That was a year I kind of lost my way, but it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I went from 50 kids to 500 kids and everyone in my neighborhood. But that's for a different time, different place. But I come from a very nice family and a generous family. We used to like to travel and we would go to Mexico. And besides enjoying myself, I would come back with vocabulary and some simple grammar. Besides being cued in a parlor trick for my mother's friends, when we would be around and I would see through observation a name tag that said Maria, Jesus, Jose, I would take the liberty of using my 50 words and limited grammar just to have a 3-minute conversation. And the positive reinforcement I got from these people outside of my circle, my family, or anybody else told me, go, Richard, go. Oh, and it was like a goodie bag. Every time I would speak with someone, they'd give me an additional vocabulary word or adjust my grammar. So I was always getting something from that conversation. And it built such confidence and self-reliance to walk up to a stranger and do a proper, polite introduction and amaze people. It's like a magic trick. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it at that young age.
Were there other languages, or was Spanish just seemed to be the right fit because of your travels with the family?
That's an excellent question. Well, two things. A, the travels with the families, even though we did go to Europe a couple times as well. But in high school, they only offered three languages. It was Spanish, French, and German. And, the cutest girls in my class were Latina. Come on. I had to be like the font. I needed some additional game so I could learn a little bit more move. But once again, it was the most practical because you would meet the most Latino in Philadelphia, not French or German speakers. And so I was
Sure.
putting three and three together. I don't know. It was almost like in my face. It was something that needed to be done. And when I made my argument to my parents, I said, listen, our great grandparents came from Eastern Europe at the turn of the 20th. They did not speak English. They went to New York. They were entrepreneurs. They were in the garment industry and they learned their English. So don't be comfortable now. Just skip a couple generations. You know what's in our blood. Great grandpa would be extra proud of me. And so I'm definitely doing this. And so I put some guilt on them.
Well,
I
there you
let
go.
them know you can't take the spark. So when someone has an education, if it's an instrument, if it's painting or drawing or linguistics, why would you put that spark out? If
They
somebody
shouldn't.
is doing something to enrich their lives, I think it's one of the most beautiful things.
Yeah. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I got an older brother and he's brilliant. He went to
Well,
Washington and Lee University. Look how smart he was.
that's a great school. But so is U of A. We're going to get to that in a minute. And they have a great football team. But your brother, he's brilliant. Is he a lawyer? Is he a doctor? What's his level of success?
Well, he's 4 years older than me, and he could have been anything he wanted in this world. He chose mathematics. He loved it. And so he was a CPA for the Red Cross. He was actually one of the first employees for GoDaddy back in the day,
Oh,
which is
wow.
kind of cool. And then became an entrepreneur. And so we're so much alike, but so different at the same time. And the things that are easy for David are difficult for me, and vice
Yeah.
versa. But
Yeah.
there's so much that we have in common. We look alike now. And
Right.
it was a nice mutual support that we had for each other in our careers.
But a yin and a yang, he's not into languages. He's into the math side. He's got different talents than you do.
I put it this way, I wear pink shirts.
Okay. All right. There you go. So, University of Arizona. I used to be at Fort Huachuca in Sierra Vista. So, I know of U of A. How did you enjoy that? And you went there because of the Spanish program? Or you like the sun? You like the heat?
Ah, Professor, you're so kind. I have to talk about the academic first, and then we'll talk about the fun in the sun. We
Okay.
got to talk about my SAT scores, which were under 1100. We got
Okay.
to talk about my GPA, which was, I don't even remember. It was a
Yeah.
little bit below 3.0.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, without those extracurriculars and those college recommendations and that beautiful essay that I wrote that got me into college, there was no way. Their language program under Dr. Michael Burgoon, he was brilliant, and I love the professors I had there. A lot of people say, and you have to admit this, that communication is an easier degree. Some people call it blow-off classes and things like that, and that's fine. You can say whatever you want about it. But today, if people are capable of delivering a proper message, if they have good copious note-taking skills and attentive listening, and they have fine ways to bring people together, they're priceless.
Absolutely.
And so you can put any academic against someone with that raw natural talent, and people gravitate towards them. And so, did I want to make college difficult? I was there for 5 years. Why? Two reasons. I didn't want to overburden myself. I still wasn't mature enough for enough credits. But secondly, that extra time I had by going to a school where I was paying in-state tuition, so it was affordable. And I could dedicate this time to raising money for Casa de los Niños, interning for
Wow.
Telemundo. You'll love this profession. I was selling ski and sun tours to Mazatlan and to Reno. So I was doing that every year too on campus. Oh, I would have hooked you up with a free trip. You know that. Just introduce me to Fabio
That.
Friends.
I
But
know
that
that.
was building such experience and character and public speaking. And then I could bring these experiences to my professors and let them know. And office hours. Why? So I could hedge my bet and get some nice B's instead of C's. But then again, you saw a different side of a professor. And then you realize that there is an awesome side to these educators, these learned individuals, and they pay it forward in such ways. And, hats off to them. One of my closest friends today is the superintendent of Bucks County, Angelo Berrios. He was the principal for Abington High School, assisted me to get into the Hall of Fame. And so it wasn't cool to know guys like you. We were narcs and nerds. That's not true. These are some of the most brilliant, beautiful people in the world that can inspire you to take your lives to next levels. And I thankfully got to see these different sides of these individuals. And that's why I have the scholarship and give it back. And it's so important that people understand that you do this for the love. There's no reason why you wouldn't get into education if it wasn't for being that distracted child that found his focus and is able to connect with the kid today and pay that forward so they can balance thereby.
You have such a tremendous ability and talent for communication. I mean, it bubbles forth. I want to
Thank
focus
you.
on that. I want to focus on the communication because, to your point, sometimes people will say, oh, he had a communication degree or he had a sociology degree. That's what I started with, a
Yeah.
sociology degree. Well, because there was no right or wrong answers, I could write, So that's how I started as my undergraduate. My point there is that when you ask people in business, what's the most important skill? People will often say communication. In business, you need to be able to communicate and you have to do that well. So to be a master at it, as you obviously are, is so significant. And that communication aspect, why stifle somebody's creativity? If they have a talent towards languages, let them do that. So the question is, in languages, the value of multilingual skills. Talk a little bit about that because my assumption is you're doing pretty well for yourself in Costa Rica. You probably have disposable income. And so you have established yourself as a CEO of the Costa Rica Call Center. Obviously, your bilingual talents helped you with that. But talk about more of the advantages of the bilingual capabilities.
It's just like when you know the answer, professor, and it becomes crystal clear. And so every time when you get a chance to meet someone that speaks a language that you're proficient, you feel like it's a foul shot compared to a 3-point half court percentage. You really feel like you're dressed accordingly. It is black tie. I got the memo. And so you can walk up to somebody and have the most beautiful introduction. And they realize you've invested time to do this and that you have passion for this. And it's an incredible first impression, especially for people that are bilingual both ways. You both know how hard it is to hit the gym and you feel cultured. You can sit back and take a sip and say something in a language. And it's refined. It's more interesting. Things become brighter and more lucid. And I always found that the most mundane conversations at cocktail parties and small talk, when you do it in a second language, is so much fun. It's so much fun. It's like comfortable shoes and it's like even accounting fun. And so I've seen it just enriching. Like, remember in The Wizard of Oz when it goes from black and white to color? Every time something goes in Spanish to me, it just feels like Popeye spinach. It just expands my brain and I wish I had hair. You'd see it on end. And so what has that done for me? And I'm not lying when people say it opens doors and it just enriches life and you can just go places and feel more comfortable. I've really been able to show really good faith with strangers that become friends from this language. Oh, and here's the skinny. You think I sound like Ricardo Montalban? Absolutely not. My Philadelphia accent is so strong that it ruins my Spanish phonetics. I'm like, yo, tango. And they're like, ah. It's amazing how far a smile goes in another language.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've noticed here in our brief minutes together is that you've done some research on me as I've done research on you. And I respect that. And I hope you respect that I think enough of you to learn about you before we have this conversation. Now, I want to ask you about the importance of that in communication because you mentioned I was a football coach, special teams even. You said thank you for your service 30 years in the Army. So you did
That's
that
right.
background on me. I'm leaning towards, boy, I really like this guy and I've just met him. That's, I suppose, sincere of who you are, but it's also important to communication, is it not?
Was it authentic when I mentioned it?
It was authentic. It was authentic.
Entonces, then you realize it wasn't something to butter the muffin.
No.
And you were mentioning, I think you used the word hero in the beginning. I'm like, my goodness gracious. I mean, I'm standing among someone that has accomplished such things, not that I could dream about, but he's been in situations where you've seen a certain side of yourself, especially in the military. It's chivalry. You really see the bold and the brave. You really see what's inside of you of not dying for your country. Of course, that's the word that you give, but just to see the best that comes out of you. But yes, these are things that we can find in common. Yes, it makes you feel better. I'm not saying you're going to give me the contract, but if I do have a chance in your circles of that evening of working in the room, if
Right.
Richard Blank pops in for 3 minutes and talks to you and pops out, you're like, wait a second, I'm
Yeah.
definitely remembering that guy. And then when you leave in the evening, I see you by the door. I'm like, my man. You're like, all right. And so at least you give me the what's up before you roll, and then I know that we're boys. I know this, that if I don't see you for 6 months, but I happen to see you on campus and I see you and you see me, oh man, you know we're walking over to each other for a handshake and
absolutely.
how you
Absolutely.
been. And so
Yeah.
we at least can pick up now where we left off. We have that anchor, and I
Yeah.
think that's wonderful. We'll have that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Did you always have this knack, elementary school, high school? Has it been refined as you've matured?
Well, when you watch enough Remington Steele and the Face Man from the A Team, of course it does. Those are my mentors when I was watching TV, not the facts of life. Of course it does. You have maturity and impulse control. You have life experience. You give people second and third chances, benefits of doubts. It's weird as an adult to see a grown man cry, but then you put yourself in their shoes because it's me today, you tomorrow. And so I guess certain things in life has given me priorities.
Yeah.
But it's been nice, as I say before, as long as you make your bed in the morning and as long as you can look in your eyes in the evening and you don't have a heavy heart and you can rest with your head on that pillow, you've done a half decent day.
Yeah.
And that's very important, at least for your core foundation.
So you've traveled a lot. You've experienced life. What's the secret to a well-lived life?
You just can't be hard on yourself. How could you extend to others if your circle, your core, your balance is not complete? You can fake it a little bit, but it's not genuine. I like first downs. I'll take touchdowns and long runs, but I'll grind out yardage and first downs. Even on our phone calls, we have checkpoints. So at least we can organize ourselves, kind of like yourself on missions. You know where you need to be, but there's certain spots where you need to check in and to see how we're doing. And so a lot of it is checking in on myself. And I'm a firm believer in the gym. I've been working out since high school. And so at my age at 52, I'm still working out 6 days a week. I love my weights, my cardio. I hit the bag and I work on core. My stomach looks great. I take creatine, the protein. I eat well in Costa Rica. And so I'm proud of myself. I'm proud that I've had that sort of dedication. When I feel good, then secondly, I have the strength and the ability to work a day. Now I got my go-go juice. I'm
Right.
not saying I'm going to make money that day, but at least I got the energy for it. Then it's the compression, it's the downtime. Some people can do meditation, other people have other sort of mediums, but I myself prefer pinball. I have machines, I wash my convertible. I'll do certain things that I enjoy
Right.
that can help me relieve the stress and recharge batteries and that's my core. And then when it comes to other people, I try to extend electromagnetic energy. I am a firm believer in certain sort of physics because I was mentioning smiles across the room, the energy we're transferring right now, even handwritten letters that I still read that grandma wrote me just gives me such beauty. And so it's like a scent of a woman. Al Pacino did not marry that woman, but they danced for 3 minutes. And that woman will remember him for the rest of their lives. They didn't kiss, they didn't get married or nothing.
So it was a hot dance.
But even there are certain times when it's still respectable and it's still polite to even have that sort of moment. And so I'm saying if you're going to cross paths with an individual, you get 100 years. And I'm so thankful to have 45 minutes with you today. And if
Yeah, me
that's the
too.
only 45 minutes that I have in this life, I think you and I made it the best that we could. Carpe diem, man. You know we're gonna die tomorrow. Of
That's
course
right.
it's gonna happen. So, ask for that extra cheese on your burger. You know what to do.
How do you pass this on to your workers? You have what, 150 workers in your call center?
That's right.
Yeah.
How do I pass it along to them? By example, because I was in their shoes, so they're in my wheelhouse. If they think I just write checks or I'm an owner, you got to be kidding. I'll take that phone call right now and I'll improve the metrics on what it's on. Not saying I'm better than you, but it's like a controlled study, professor, a focus group. You've studied things. I've studied tens of thousands of calls for over 2 decades. So of course you see certain patterns, soft skills, things that have worked and not worked in regards to QA and scripting and coaching. And so it's always through reinforcement. Since English is their second language, I have to respect the dedication, structure, and discipline. Sometimes it's a grammar adjustment. Sometimes, professor, I cheat. Ooh, that's the word you guys hate in school. It's not the y equals mx plus b behind your calculator. I know that theory. It's writing out the word phonetically because of the vowels, because they're going to say it wrong. So instead of stumping, worrying about, and stopping at that point, write it out. Speak it first, spell it second. And so what I have done is completely reduce that mind blockage. It's a beautiful patch. They just run over it. And sometimes we laugh on how creative they are phonetically to say it right. And then instead of wasting 45 minutes, I've reduced that to 1 minute, and we all go around the room, laugh, and we just solve that problem. And then we make them do public speaking so then people can stand up. Why? You're breaking that one thing most people fear more than death. So then I get the double gun at they're practicing linguistics and public speaking. What else are they doing, professor? Well, are you righty or lefty? I'm a righty. Hold the script with the left. Use the right hand for illustrators, and I want you to point at me for the personal pronouns, mine and yours, and I want some Shakespeare. Ha ha, ha ha, you. I'm going to increase it 15% in regards to the illumination, the shine of your speech. Watch the old-time radio actors. Look at Orson Welles with War of the Worlds, how expressive he was. Karate the yell. You're getting that 15% magic out of you that only is produced during that time, the apex of the pyramid. It can only be produced when that happened. And so, unless you're insecure, you shouldn't be laughing. If you're making the most money and you got the best numbers on the board, people should be doing your Napoleon Dynamite dance or whatever the hell it does to get you that sort of thing. If that's superstition, or if that's just the correct way to hit a golf ball or play a violin. And so I think that body is expressed through so many different ways. And since we are eliminating three of our senses over the phone, taste, touch, and smell, the hearing should be expanded. We should be using image streaming and making our vocabulary much more colorful and descriptive. And one of my favorite professors of all time, the great communicator, Helen Keller, who created multiple languages. This person definitely used her abilities and senses that you had to the max. And I think if you're 160 hours a month, sir, sitting at a place without sight unseen, you should be able to fly at night. Your ears should look like bunny rabbits, and you should be painting pictures. That's how I believe this thing. It's the art of speech, professor.
Do you have any practices that you have with your workers?
A lot of it is nickname related. And prior to working with me, we have a selection process. Most people put the bells and whistles. Of course they do. You're not an honor roll student. And so what I do is I ask them to turn their paper over and give me a coming of age moment. And then they ask me what a coming of age moment is. And I go, yes,
Now you
they're a
got them.
squire to a knight. I
All
can
right.
mold them now. I go, tell me a time, professor, when you beat up a bully or saved a kitten. Why? So I can A, give you a cool nickname, and B, when it's a rainy Wednesday, I can pick you up and remind you when you won. And I also want to see if this professor asks you a zig and a zag, a loosey-goosey question, are you capable of doing the 10% of this variable that exists in life?
Today's pod is sponsored by Luke Leaders 1248, a charity that funds scholarships for children of U.S. military veterans. Since 2009, Luke Leaders 1248 has contributed more than $130,000 to young leaders that have demonstrated a commitment to serving others. This focus on servant leadership empowers the mission of Luke Leaders 1248. Luke Leaders 1248 has funded scholarships across the United States, from Alabama to Colorado, from Indiana to Massachusetts. $2,000 is awarded per year for 4 years of study at a college or trade school chosen by the scholarship recipient. Unique to this scholarship is a student's commitment to pay it forward upon their graduation with 1% of their post-graduation salary or 1% of their time paid back to the scholarship fund. In this way, the Loop leader pays it forward and helps promote the importance of the we over the me. Learn more about this registered 501c3 nonprofit at www.lukeleaders1248.com. That's www.lukeleaders1248.com. 100% of donations are funneled directly to the students, and all donations are tax deductible. Luke Leaders 1248, to those whom much is given, much is expected. And I understand you've created, or you like to create, a recess environment at your business. You have pinball machines. You have a Pac-Man machine. I understand somebody fell in love by your Pac-Man machine. Tell us about that. Tell us about that recess environment.
Well, I got to ask you a question first.
Yeah,
if I may. Did you ever play kickball with your class or capture the flag? Did you ever play with your students?
Yeah,
ever?
Yeah. We brought in, I forget the author's name right now, but I brought in leaves one day into the classroom, and we just threw it on the floor and played with the leaves during the class. So yeah, I've done crazy things like that. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And then the students felt much more comfortable with you. Why? Because they laughed with you and played with you.
Yeah.
And so for me, I created a happy medium. They can let off steam, recharge batteries, not ice out, hand-eye coordination, less cigarettes, less alone time. And it's a really great place to meet people from other departments. Plus, especially, and I'm going to say this, with my beautiful vintage classic pinball, virtual what? You got to play the real pinball machines, these electromechanical, beautiful machines. They'll never see them again. And so in this environment, especially with my people, I laugh with them. I see a different side of them. We can compete in a healthy way. And also I get the best compliment of all, Professor. I get haptics. I get touch.
Yeah.
In the mornings when I'm playing the game and someone walks past, I get the F.A. good morning. And you know, when that happens, it is appropriate. You know that you are so close with these people. That's the solid bond.
Absolutely. Now, here's the most important question. You ready for it? Stern or Bali?
Oof, that's a tough one. It really depends. The majority of my machines are Bali machines. My oldest one's a 1970 Camelot.
I didn't stump you. That was too easy a question, I guess.
But my Gottlieb is the most difficult to fix. I only have one, a Street Fighter II.
That's a great game, Street Fighter II. I've played that.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry. But
no,
I've got to get this out because I'm excited about it. So do you have 1976 Captain Fantastic and a Brown Dirt Cowboy?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, okay.
No, that was going to be my next point. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, let's get the Kiss one or the Guns N' Roses or Captain America. You could, but then you're paying top dollar. I, for an example, a 1970 Bally's Camelot, those things can go as little as $700 to $1,200. They're affordable. You get the no names. Now, naturally, I have ones that have names, like a Last Action Hero, Data East, Doctor Who I have, you know, the Street Fighters and stuff like that. But then I got a 1986 Williams Pinbot. And that thing is the most incredible light display I've ever seen in my entire life. But my favorite decade, Professor, I love the 70s. Why? For multiple reasons. Electromechanical. The play fields were painted wood. It's not the laminates or the stickers. Remember the marquee art and the outside painting on the machines?
Right.
Plus, it's a xylophone and they're easy to fix and open play field. And just, I love them and I'm obsessed with them. And one man's trash is another man's treasure. They're all going out of business. So me, you, Billy, Tommy, and Joey, come on, we'll get in a van, drive a couple hours to the beach of the mountains. And for $300, I'm picking up a machine that's worth about $4,000. And Anyway, you
And
see
you
my
have one
passion.
of, yeah, I do, and I appreciate your passion. You have one of the largest collections in Costa Rica.
Well, it's interesting when there are people that are collectors as well. Like I have a friend, Victor, out in Amsterdam. He came and I never met him before, but people look to play games when they travel. Real serious collectors. Found me online, stopped at the call center. I never met the man before, but just like Dudley Moore and Bo Derek in the movie 10, I'm like, pinball collector? Yeah. And they were running towards each other. I was going to bring him to my house, but he had to go to the airport to see the real collection. And so it's a small group, but it's a beautiful group of apasionados of people that really love it. But no, in this country, no one collects them. There's a few people with one or two machines. A good friend of mine, Martin, he's in second place with like 10. But I picked them all up. I had the space and I had the desire.
And at the call center, are you like the head dog on the pinball? Is there young people that can compete with you?
They don't know how to trap the ball and they don't have the patience. They just hit away. So yeah, of course I'm beating them there. And I'm also the king of the air hockey table. Come on, I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan. I have
Ah,
to be.
there you go. Yeah, air hockey. Well, important question here. Is there a metaphor in the pinball and business and life?
Don't be distracted by these lights and the bells and the sound. That's what traps you. That's that golden apple. It's those very rare selected targets and timing.
Ah, there's your metaphor. Yeah, it's the timing. Know when to
Timing.
trap, know when to release, know which target you're going after.
But know the beast. I'm not saying the machines are the beast, but if you're going to plan on riding this, you really have to understand the size, the strength, and the strategy.
I love it. I love it. And Gary Beers, how did you meet him?
I wish I met him personally, but let's make a long story very short. My first friend in Costa Rica is Igny Feroki. It's an old school rocker, and his band was founded in 78. He's got two famous songs, La Radio and San Lucas. Anyway, I met him at the call center that I was working at, and he and I became friends. And he created a song for my call center, Shine Like the Sun, with Harold Webb and Eduardo Dorian, the lead singer. Anyway, my favorite band's INXS, and I follow their podcasts and what they're doing today. And Gary Beers was talking about how he started a company in Los Angeles that makes custom-made basses, ggbbasses.com. Checked it out. One section said, "Hire Gary." I said, "Well, if he puts an email, I might just write him this. I'm your biggest fan, and maybe he'll write me back." But then it says, "If you have a song, I'll work on it with you. And I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this." And the price started off at $600. I'm like, I'll just pay $600 for an email back from him. I go, let him. So I wrote him this thing. You would have been proud of me, professor. I wrote this thing in one draft. It must have been 1,000 words about everything. And I told him I have a song and I'm a biggest fan and I did this and I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, the following day, I got an email back saying, "Hi, Richard. So you want to hire me?" I'm like, "Yes." And
So
so I
you hired
calmed
him.
down. And I
Wow.
broke it down for him and I bought the entire package, all four elements. I had him play bass on the song. And then he played bass in a certain jammy way. Then he added on some percussion and synthesizer. And then the cream, he did a performance video of it. You got to have proof. And so,
Yeah,
and I
no.
got a half a dozen emails. He wished me like a Merry Christmas. And I was on seventh heaven. Why? Because of the transfer of energy. You're talking about the rest of the band and Michael Hutchence. And so there was actual written communication and he created this song. And so if you go on the YouTube and check it out, it's a
Seen it. Yeah,
Gary Beers performance video. And so it's fun because we made a rock video with it, put it up in the corner. I cameoed in it. And you know what it felt like, professor? Like if you're 13 years old and you have a fantasy, what are you going to choose? Girls, convertibles, arcade machines, you know, rock star.
Right. You
What
can
are you going
pick
to
it
do?
all, put it all in
Take it
there.
off.
Yeah. Tell us about the call center. Who are your clients? What's the volume of work? Some of the work conditions, if you could.
Of course. Let me first shatter some misconceptions in regards to Hollywood. There are certain centers that do not do sports books, casino stocks, pharmacies, or sweepstakes. It's true. There are some that do. Now, I'm a near shore because of the United States, not offshore and in the Philippines. I'm dedicated, so these agents only work for your campaign, not a blended or a mixed center, bilingual, of course. And we handle accounts such as sales, appointment setting, lead generation, customer support, back office support, non-voice support, and IT support. And so the agents are full time. Why? So I can pay them their benefits, I can compete against Amazon, and I can scale accordingly. I'm not the largest, but we pack a punch. And as I say, I very much believe in synergy. Naturally, post-COVID, that completely destroyed the sort of magic that happened at these call centers, and we can get to that too in AI and stuff. But no, the call center industry, how interesting. It's extremely lucrative. You can make a fortune doing this, but it's very labor intensive, like you grading papers, going to class, and the disruptions in the middle of your lectures. And so you have to take into account, and it's not me and you, professor, it's that things happen outside of the office which may affect somebody that day. And so I have to put myself into people's financial and family situations. And as long as they're following the rules, I'm able to look the other way once in a while. But if it's really breaking labor laws or putting a campaign at risk, hey, we got to have the come to Jesus meeting. You and I have to call the balls in the strikes. See what we can do privately, and if it doesn't happen, then we can't hit the ball and drag Johnny. We have to do certain mature decisions when people either fail a class or have to be let go.
You've been working there for 17 years now. You've been at this. Did you establish it? Or did you take it over?
That's a great question. I first worked at my friend's center for 4 years, and then the hiatus I took, I was really working and making calls for my brother for a couple of years and built some capital and then started the business. And I started it from scratch. I had one seat for 1 hour, and I was renting space from a blended center, and I scaled accordingly for 2 years till I had the capital and the clients. Then I rented space for 6 years, built out a server room equipment, and rose accordingly. And then after 6 years, where I couldn't expand that anymore, I purchased a building, put on a third floor, and you're going to love this, Art Deco with neon lights. Oh yeah, if you're ever going to do it once, you got to do it in neon. It's beautiful Art Deco. It's got a classic style to it, and I believe it is almost like a theater where people can express themselves. And we're in a beautiful location, Barrio Aranjuez, which is by the third largest public hospital, and you'll love this, all the universities and the train station and the aduana. So we're at a beautiful location right downtown.
You're probably at the point now where, you're a desired work location. People want to come work for you.
It depends, my man. It's you're talking about an industry that does have a large attrition and a burnout rate. It is true. And it's not for the faint of heart. The fact that I not only survived but thrived, it's like the movie Gladiator. Remember those old gladiators that all of a sudden get, that's me. I actually like blood, but yeah, I like to get hung up on for a living. I like to write rhetoric. I like to make adjustments of tone. I like to study micro expression readings phonetically and use the thesaurus so we can expand our simile so we are more diplomatic and strategic. And then you say, well, Richard, hold on, professor. The reason I know is because of the metrics. If you're making thousands of phone calls and I see that you are expanding your talk time and your conversion ratio is better, obviously something's happening. Then we listen to the calls like you grading your tests. And there's KPIs, key performance indicators that we follow. That's what I'm paying you to do. Professor, I want you to use the additional soft skills, the positive escalation, mentioning your assistant or the ones that using the military alphabet, instead of using words like help, changing it to assist, guide, and lend a hand. So you can adjust tones. And so these are the things that are people more in the now. So while they're translating and doing that intense concentration, we can always put that little bit of magic dust or an additional plate on the arm. It can be done.
Phonetic micro expressions. That's a new phrase to me. You use that to look for verbal tell signs. Can
Correct.
you explain that?
Absolutely. Phonetics. Basically broken down 4 ways: your tone, rate, pitch, and duration. Your tone represents the emotion. In my professional opinion, you should have it 2 ways: confident and empathetic. Extend compassion, like a doctor, an attorney, or a military veteran, or special teams coach.
All
I love
right.
it. Yeah, so we can win that game. It works. There's a technique they use, professor, called mirror imaging. You could do it face to face, but we're talking about phonetics, which is sight unseen. So that's why I think of yourself using an XY chart. The Y is for the speaking sound, the level, and the X will be for your speed. You'd have four quadrants, and it's very easy. Subconsciously, after 3 weeks of practice, it becomes habit. It will not hold you back from your workload. It's just another thing that becomes brighter, like an architect learning weight distribution, seriously, or a mechanic hearing a sound and knowing what's wrong with a car. And so it's making you more astute. Why? Because you're going to see spikes or dips. Why? Because do not pay attention to that variable of emotion. Of the tone, it's how fast and how loud you go, but it's a first time read. Well, just gauge it every 30 seconds. You should be asking first down, tie down questions, professor. Like in your class, you don't do a whole lecture. You stop for a second, say, class, makes sense, correct? Yes, professor. Sounds good, right, class? It does, professor. And then you say, which is really smart, you rake it one more time because you're smart. You say, may we move forward? The insurance policy, because once in a while, no, hold on, one last, I love the one last question. And then we do that checkpoint. So instead of having a 10-minute conversation, you're really having 20, 30-second checkpoints and gauging to see if it's spike or dipping for tie downs. And so these are the things that I have noticed that have, I'm not saying it's foolproof. Don't put all your money on this in Vegas, but it's more than 50%. And if you're gauging and you've done this long enough and you're on a long enough conversation, you will see the pattern. And that's when you interject and you ask this question and you ask open-ended question. It's very important. I've even seen people from time to time, and you've done this too, professor, when nobody says anything in the class, you almost force one of your students to ask a question. Because I've gone through the entire dessert menu. I see you looking at all of them. You haven't said anything. So I'm going to say, professor, I went through each one slowly. I've seen your reaction. You didn't say, you, I'm sure you want at least one. Come on, you got at least snake eyes, gamble that one. And 9 times out of 10, because you felt it. Yes, I do have a question. Come on, Billy's got a question. And so I've been able to slow it back, rake it a few times, like in the show Get Smart, shut the door, move forward. And so when it is controlled, sir, and it's sliced and it's diced, it is a dance. It's something where they expect you to be the best and the sharpest. And so you're not being clever. No, this is a lecture you've done 1,000 times. All you're doing is bringing someone in and leading them in the dance. You're the rudder of their ship in a sense. But damn, you need to make sure that as a shepherd, we are at least going in the right direction. And so it is a beautiful art. Because your conversions will increase. And it's not that you'll get the business. At least you'll know if it will be a sale, or you'll at least get the answer on why it's not. And that to me is extremely satisfying.
Tone, rate, pitch, duration.
Oh,
Love it.
excuse me, sir. We didn't go over the duration part. The tone, rate, and pitch could be manipulated. The duration is the silence because you need the sound for the silence, of course. And so, as I say, I could yell at you, curse, interrupt, or be silent. But that answering speed is really the subconscious. And that's why the cops usually do something by the third or fourth question. So you have your XY chart and then put the line underneath it. That's my insurance policy. You can't fake the answering speed, especially when emotion is involved. That's how you manipulate phonetics.
That's fascinating. I had not heard of that. Thanks for this education. You're going to educate me again on the boomerang effect, the famous buffer boomerang technique to close sales. Again, don't know it. I would like to learn it. Tell me about the boomerang technique.
It's an adjustment of a tone. Think of a half circle. The first thing I would want to do is readjust your negative tone. Well, what is ABC, Richard? And I'd say, Professor, that's a good question. ABC is 1, 2, 3. What's 1, 2, 3, Richard? Ah, Professor, so glad you brought that up. 1, 2, 3 is ABC. I'm going to name drop you. Let you know it's a good question because you need to calm down. And I'm like, we need to buffer this. I'm going to repeat the question. Why? So you know that I understand it because a lot of wasted time in phone calls and conversations are repeats. And I'm going to give you your answer. You may like it or not like it, but I'm going to make it a plus two, a smile and a calmer. ABC's 1, 2, 3, Professor. But what's 1, 2, 3, Richard? Ah, Professor, I knew you were going to ask that again. 1, 2, 3 is ABC. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Look at the tone adjusting, calming down. moving forward. And just one last thing in regards to that phonetic micro expression reading, it can be done in any language. I wouldn't suggest doing it in English or even in Spanish if you know it. Do it in German or Chinese, a language you have no idea. So click to that channel. Doesn't matter the semantics. Doesn't matter. Take out the emotion. Don't care for that either. Study that XY and the pacing and see what happens on that novella and that soap opera and see if you can pick something going on. That is where you balance. You need to play those sort of linguistic games as I had to learning a second language, where I needed to be in an environment where I didn't understand in the beginning anything, but I had to deduct through sound and motion. Is this a part of what they're talking about? What a beautiful way to see the landscape and the horizon as a distance compared to the fine detail. And so it's at least you're making progress that day. You're at least facing towards the sun.
We have mentioned early on in our conversation about artificial intelligence. Has AI disrupted call centers, and how so?
Well, let me ask you a question, Professor. You ever go and speak to an IVR where you try to give your address or account number and they get it wrong like 10 times?
Yes.
Or when you're trying to check in for the airport and they're giving you the wrong airport? They haven't figured it out yet. Make a long story short, is it going to be helpful? Of course it will. It's going to be the gathering aspect. It's going to eliminate entry-level jobs. Eventually, in 5 to 10 years, the IVR and the information put in will be perfect. But guess is the one thing they'll never get, the empathy. Because when you want to speak to your attorney, doctor, best friend, or mechanic, you do press zero. I want to speak to someone on the best or worst day of my life. So AI will replace certain things, make things more proficient. But there will be that concierge or that golden section VIP that gets to speak to a human to be able to retain, upsell, refer, or in worst case scenario, exit interview while you lost that client. And so just expect that sort of change. It might take us down to the 10-yard line, but once that first and goal, then you're probably going to get a live person on the phone.
Richard, I wanted to finish up with something very important for both of us, and that is the scholarship, your endowed scholarship at Abington Senior High School in Philadelphia. Can you tell us, please, why you established that and a little bit about it?
First, go Ghosts. Oh, yeah. I'm so proud of my Abington High School. As I mentioned before, while the violins were playing, I got kicked out of Germantown Academy. They dropped that zero, and then Abington went with the hero. They hired me. So I went to an environment where I knew all my neighbors, I knew everyone around, and I love public school. It's a blue ribbon school. And we had some amazing alumni, Stephen Schwartzman of Blackstone, Amber Bose. Created, the scientists. And how about Ashton Carter,
Yep.
right? Secretary of Defense. And so we also had Eddie George and Bob Saget and Michael Buffer. So I don't know what's going on in Abington. We had some really cool alumni, and I'm part of that. But
Yeah.
why the scholarship? Because when I was 18 years old, becoming the Spanish major and getting that recommendation from the late Norman Schmidt and my dedicated Spanish teacher, Esperanza Galshak, there's no way Arizona would have happened. Costa Rica would have happened, my life would have happened. So let's really call it as it is. I got a lucky break. My grades were terrible. Where did I get into? I think I got into Lynchburg College, and then I got into Rollins College in Florida because they wanted the money. So I'm not paying that much each year. And so I finally got into Arizona. And so I saw myself in them. Any kid that learns a second language, that's different. Why? Because I can relate to it. No one spoke Spanish in my family. And these kids really show that dedication. I'm not paying for their college, but if I can pay for their books for their fall semester, what a cool thing. And they don't even know me. And I don't need anything in return. I'm just doing this to pay it forward. The circle is complete. And I'm so proud to be able to, be able to afford that because it's still money. And thank you for bringing it up. But it once again, it's not the thing I have on a billboard saying, "Hey, I do a scholarship." It's if people see it and realize that old school non-honor roll average student but loved his friends so much and was proud of his high school decides to do something, that's like wicked cool. I like things like that. And when I come home, I feel such love. And it's fun to relive those days, or when I go to the school to be able to walk the hallways proud. And I never took my studies seriously. selfishly for Spanish, but not in school. I never had the best grades. And so when I'm back there, I'm almost embarrassed that I wish I had done better. But then again, on the flip side, it's like the bad kid that becomes the cop. He knows
Right.
how to relate to them. I'm the kid that was so immature, chasing girls and the sports and the fun, the maximum of minimum to get by. Charm and good looks only, raising money through donuts and stuff. Yeah, whatever. But when I walk there, I guess I'm trying to put that to bed a little bit, or to say thank you so much for believing in me when I was being an idiot and seeing something in me when I wasn't mature enough to see it myself.
And you know, the
But
important thing, Richard, is that you don't have to do it, but you choose to. It's not publicized. You're a quiet servant. It's sort of in the background. You believe in it, you do it. So God bless you. Hats off to you for getting it done. You're paying it forward. You're doing the right thing. You're causing the ripple effect. It's going to be significant. So well done. Good for you.
yeah, that's a different stage too, my friend. Maybe it was putting to bed what happened at the private school and saying, don't be so hard on yourself, Richard. It was right bus, wrong seat. You know, you
Yes,
just,
right.
education was right. You just weren't in the right area. And you know, it's sometimes, and I mentioned it before, it's being selfish or getting past guilt and doing certain decisions where your intuition is telling you it's the right thing to do. So imagine being in that box where you're earning a living and you're doing what you have to do, but it's like Pink Floyd, The Wall. You just feel like you're in that machine. Life should be lived, and it really should be a dream, and it should be beautiful, and you should fall in love, and you should make friends. And if you don't make as much money as your friends, then so be it. Or if you make a ton of money, then buy pinball machines with it. I still feel like I'm 17. This should have never happened. I hope I was able to bring some fun things to the table
You
today.
have been. Any last comments you want to make? We'll get you out of here on that.
My final thought is if you're planning on going for life a little bit, be responsible. And you know perfectly well, sir, that 80 hours is full time, 40 hours is part time. And so if you have your responsibilities and bills paid, there's no reason mornings, evenings, and weekends, you can start that second project or volunteer or go to the gym or start getting out of your house and off your phone and starting doing things where you're interacting with people and enjoying life a little bit more because it goes fast. And I don't have regrets, but I'm slowing down a little bit now, my friend. That's why your podcast was not 10 minutes. You and I needed time to settle in, get
Right.
comfy, and talk for a while. And so I think I'm going to be spending the rest of my life like that in comfortable shoes.
That's good.
So I'm pleasant to be around.
You are indeed. And it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Richard Blank, CEO of Costa Rica's call center. He is a gifted raconteur and a citizen of the planet. I've really enjoyed this. This has been a lot of fun.
Well,
Thanks
I
for.
have one last question. Did I
Yes,
pass
sir.
your class? If I
Oh,
was
you
in your
did.
class, would I have passed today?
You got an A plus, my man. You got an A plus. Well done.
Love it.
Today's pod was produced by Len Sambrowski and edited through Final Cut Pro. If you enjoyed today's show, please like and subscribe to the Manager Memo Podcast. A new episode is released each Sunday. Become part of our management team.